Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, John chapter 11, we read about a tragedy. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, close friend of Jesus, dies. Mary and Martha are devastated. Mary and Martha ask the question that all of us ask when faced with tragedy, pain, and suffering. Why? Why did this have to happen? Why did this happen to this person? Why did this happen now? We all ask the question why. That's what we do, and understandably so. But the Lord redirects their focus and redirects their question from why to who. Because the really important question is, who is Jesus? John chapter 11 tells us and shows us who Jesus truly is. John chapter 11 reminds us of two important truths that we need to remember when we face tragedy, pain, or grief. John 11 shows us, number one, the compassion of Jesus, and number two, the power of Jesus. Number one, the compassion of Jesus. We read the Bible to understand who God is, and it tells us so much about our awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He has so many awesome attributes. He is eternal, without beginning or end. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. Everything that has happened, everything that will happen. He is all-powerful. He can do anything. But there is one attribute that the Bible emphasizes about God above everything else, one that's most important. God is compassionate and loving. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." All throughout the scriptures, they talk about how loving, compassionate, and gracious God is. It is his defining characteristic. In fact, it is at the core of his very being. That's what John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's who he is. Now, Jesus is God in the flesh, so of course, he is full of love and compassion. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 9:36. The word for compassion is splenizomai, which means gut-wrenching compassion. When you love someone so much, you feel it in your gut. Your stomach does flip-flops. That's the kind of love Jesus has for everybody. Jesus has gut-wrenching compassion for you, for me, and for everyone, because Jesus is God in the flesh, and God is love. He is full of compassion. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, because that's who the Lord is. Now in John chapter 11, the Apostle John shows us just how much Jesus loves his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Five separate times in that chapter, John refers to the emotions of Jesus, to the feelings of Jesus, calling our attention to them, letting us know how Jesus felt in this particular case. John 11, verse 3. "So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" And then verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." John just comes out and says it plainly, so we understand that at the beginning, before all these events take place. John 11, verse 33, after Lazarus' death, "When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled." John 11, 35 and 36, "Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" And then finally, John 11, 30 and 39, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.'" Notice, John really wants us to know how much Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know, everything Jesus does, he does for a purpose. And the motivation behind every action Jesus takes is always love. He always wants the best for people, not in the short term, but in the long term, in the eternal way. That's who Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And that description of the Lord's compassion culminates in that shortest verse of the Bible. It's the shortest verse, but it is packed with meaning. It is the shortest verse in the Bible, but I think one of the most beautiful. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why does Jesus weep? A lot of people have different ideas about that. I don't think it's too hard to figure out. Jesus weeps for the same reason you and I weep. Remember, Jesus is 100% human, as well as 100% God. Jesus weeps for the same reason you and I weep, because his heart is broken. He is hurting. He is grieving. He is grieving for his friend Lazarus and what he had to suffer. He is grieving for Mary and for Martha and for the pain that they are currently experiencing. His friends are hurting, and Jesus hurts for them. The Bible says, weep with those who weep, and that's, of course, exactly what Jesus does. When the people around him see that Jesus is weeping, they knew exactly what he was feeling. See how he loved him. See how he loved Lazarus. You see, Jesus is full of love and compassion. He weeps with those who weep. His heart breaks when he sees someone experience pain, suffering, and death. It's the same way he feels when he sees you hurting. Jesus isn't a God who is far away from our troubles and our sufferings. He is one who aches and hurts right alongside with us because of his great love and his compassion for us. Jesus weeps for those who are hurting. And John 11:35 reminds us of that fact. He is full of compassion. But there is another emotion that Jesus is also feeling that John describes as well. It says in the English that Jesus was deeply moved. Now, the Greek word for deeply moved is a really interesting word. It doesn't mean moved with sadness here. No, it means that he was moved with anger. He's angry about something. Jesus is angry at the same time that he's grieving. But who is he angry at? He is not angry with Mary or Martha. The text has made that clear over and over again. Jesus sympathizes with Mary and Martha. He grieves with them. He weeps with them. No. Who is Jesus angry at? Jesus is angry at death. You know, there's some people who think that death is part of God's plan. You know, it's just a natural part of life. It's part of God's plan. We live, we die, and that's the way God designed things. That is not the case. Death is not part of God's plan. In fact, it is the opposite of God's plan. He did not create Adam and Eve and put them in the garden so that one day they would experience death. No. Death came into the world through sin, and sin came into this world through the devil and through human beings, just like us. Jesus came into this world to defeat sin and to save us from death, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus doesn't say, I have come so that you may have death and have it to the full. No, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus does not say, I am the way and the truth, and I am death incarnate. No, that's not what he says. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Make no mistake, Jesus hates death. Death is his enemy. It is the enemy Jesus came to earth to destroy. And here in this text, Jesus is angry at death because Jesus hates death, and it's about time that he and death have a showdown. Which brings us to number two, the power of Jesus. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, both Martha and Mary go out individually to meet with Jesus. Martha goes first, and they both ask the why questions. But it comes out more like an accusation. Martha comes out and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus comforts Martha and tells her, your brother will rise again. Martha thinks Jesus is just trying to be nice and says, yes, Lord, I know. I've heard you preach about this. He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus looks at Martha and says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She asked the why question, but Jesus redirects her to who he is and what he can do. You see, Martha thought the resurrection was an event that was going to happen in the far-off future. But Jesus reminds Martha, he is the resurrection. The resurrection is a person. Jesus is the resurrection, the Lord of life. In other words, the resurrection begins when Jesus says it does. And for Lazarus, and just for Lazarus, today is going to be that day. Mary also comes out and talks to Jesus. She also tells Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This time, Jesus doesn't respond with words. Jesus responds with actions. Let's look at John 11, 33 to 39. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved, angry, to his spirit, and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, angry, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Jesus is angry, not at Martha, not at Mary, but at death itself. Death is his enemy. Death is the one who Jesus came to destroy. And on this day, Mary and Martha and the whole crowd that is out there with him are going to witness something that they will never forget. Because on this day, on this glorious day, Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the life, is going to defeat our greatest enemy, which is death itself. Continuing on verse 43. When he had said these things, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Jesus, the Lord of life, raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus and death have a showdown, and it's no contest. Jesus easily wins. Death suffers defeat at the hand of Jesus, or to be more accurate, at the word of Jesus. Behold the power of Jesus. Behold the power of his word. How did Jesus calm the storm? By the power of his word. How did Jesus heal people? By the power of his word. How does Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? By the power of his word. How will Jesus one day raise us from the dead? By the power of his word. You see, when Jesus says something, it is a reality. So if Jesus says something, you can believe it 100%. When Jesus says your sins are forgiven, you know your sins are forgiven. When Jesus says you have eternal life, you know you have eternal life. And when Jesus says one day I will raise you from the dead, just like I raised Lazarus from the dead, you know it is a done deal. It is a fact. And that's exactly what Jesus promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 puts it this way. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.